Good morning, church family, one more time. Good to see you. Good to be with you. Would you turn with us to Matthew chapter 7? We're still in the Sermon on the Mount, and I know that we've picked back up from a long time ago, but we're going to close it out. We're getting really close as we get here to Matthew chapter 7. We're in the last paragraph or so as we look at the Sermon on the Mount this morning. And here in chapter 7, we come to a really major division in the Sermon on the Mount. At the end of verse 12, which we covered through last week, Christ has laid down pretty much all the principles that he's going to in this sermon. And we can pretty much safely say that he's finished the sermon in this manner, that he's given us the principles that we're to be living by. And from here on, from this point, he's hammering home and he's rounding out, if you will, the epilogue. It's the finishing touch for us to come back and look at it and for him to challenge us to say, all right, are you just going to listen to this or are you going to do something with it? The theme of his sermon, which began in chapter 5, I know that you're familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, but it began in chapter 5 and finishes up here in chapter 7. It's got a very specific purpose, and that purpose is to show believers what our nature is supposed to be. Are you with me? Jesus said, this is how you're supposed to be. This is how you're supposed to act. It's the character to show and remind us how we are to manifest, if you will, the nature of God through our walk. You see, our Lord came to earth. Amen? Let me say that again. Our Lord came to earth. Jesus Christ, God, Son of God, Savior, Redeemer, came to earth. He left the splendor of heaven. He came to earth, and he came with a purpose. He didn't just come to look around. He came with a purpose. He came to establish from heaven a kingdom on earth that would be more like heaven. That was his purpose here. As his people, we need to understand his kingdom and his kingdom purpose. And as we understand his kingdom purpose, we realize that it's something very special and something very unique from this world and this world's ways. Amen? Do you think we're different from the world? Okay, let me put it a different way. Do you think we should be different from the world? Absolutely. We're supposed to be like Christ. And he came, and that's what this sermon was all about. He was saying, this is how you're supposed to be. In chapter 5, we have Christ's model for a Christian. You know what they were called? The Beatitudes. And I know it doesn't fit if you go back and if you look at it in the Greek, nor if you really want to look at it really critically in the English. But the Beatitudes is how you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be like each of these things. So, friends, we heard that Jesus say that as we are like him, and because we are like him, the world is going to persecute us. That's what this sermon is all about. I'm just giving you a recap of the Sermon on the Mount, if you will. He said, if you're like me, the world is not going to like you. He said, if you're going to be like me, the world's going to hate you, as a matter of fact, and you're going to go through suffering. And he said, in spite of that, in spite of the fact that the world doesn't like you and really doesn't want to hear what you've got to say about God and his redemption, we are not to segregate ourselves from the rest of the world. That was his message. He said, you're supposed to be what? He said, don't leave the world, but we're supposed to be salt and light. He said, you're supposed to be the preservative, if you will. You're supposed to be the light to show people's way to come to me. In other words, without the presence of Christians, without the presence of God's people in the world grows more and more putrid and less in light. So we've got to be here. We're the preservative. We're the salt that keeps things preserved, and we're the salt that keeps the flavor of life and the light, if you will, that makes sure people don't stumble in the darkness. And without us, there is a gross darkness. Without Christ, without us. So he tells us we are to exceed the righteousness of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He says, you need to go beyond what they do, just following the rules. You need to go beyond that. And he tells us how to do that. He says, listen, one way that you do that is how you fast. how you pray, how you give. You may remember that all from the Sermon on the Mount. And then finally, in chapter 7, which is broken up for us, he finally deals with our whole attitude towards people. We covered that last week as we talked about judging and being careful that we don't judge with a critical spirit, but that we judge in a manner that would be according to God's will and God's way. And then we kind of wrap it all up. We've gone through the Sermon on the Mount in three, whatever it was. A couple of minutes. We've gone through the, kind of recap the whole Sermon on the Mount. And it's like Jesus here in chapter 7, as he gets there, he goes, there. I finished how you're supposed to be. This is the character that I want you to have. This is the character of kingdom people. This is the character of the kingdom that I'm forming. I want you to live like that. That's what Jesus is saying. And in the second half of chapter 7, in those closing paragraphs, Jesus says, in effect, he says, my sermon is finished. Are you just going to ignore it, or are you going to do something about it? Are you going to follow me? Will you be content to be familiar with the Sermon on the Mount and with my teaching, or will you actually apply it? Are you with me? He's saying, what will you do? That's the scripture that we're coming up to, the challenge that he gives us. Would you stand with me as we read God's Word, and we're going to read chapter 7, only two short verses today. We're going to look at verses 13 and 14 as Jesus begins this epilogue, this summary, this challenge from his sermon. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to what? Life. And there are how many? Few who find it. Wow. Well, this is a brief passage, but man, does it kind of tell us where we need to be. Would you pray with me? Father, we need your help always as we understand your word. So we pray, would you deliver to us a wisdom that goes beyond listening? Would you deliver to us an understanding that goes beyond hearing? And God, would you help us fully to comprehend what you're saying? That your way is very, very narrow. Father, help us to see what you mean, to apply it, to live it. And God, would you help us to show others that they need this narrow way? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? The narrow way. Or the narrow gate. It's both. We have a narrow gate and we have a narrow way. Let's talk about that for just a bit. What is the outstanding characteristics of this whole sermon? As you go back and you look at chapter 5, chapter 6, and the beginning part of chapter 7 of the Sermon on the Mount, what's the outstanding characteristic as you see this? What's the principle to help you to kind of grasp the whole thing? And Jesus answers the question. Right here in verse 13, he answers the question and he calls us to what? Narrowness. Now, I'm not talking about being narrow of mind, but narrow in behavior as we follow and as we're obedient to what he says. He calls us to follow the what? The narrow way. Enter by the narrow gate. Follow the narrow way. Now, his illustration here is pretty dramatic, but it's very practical. Because we understand it this way. I want you to envision this. We're walking along and in the world, and there's kind of people everywhere. Maybe even envision a New York sidewalk. I know, we're Texan, but envision what you see on TV. A New York sidewalk, just crowded with people. And off to the side, you see this open area. And there is, right over here, a huge gate that opens up and leads to an even broader road. And there's thousands of people going into that gate. Thousands going along the way. And then over here, there's this little bitty turnstile. Just a tiny place. And only one person can go through it at the time. And then once you go through, you see, man, it's not just a narrow gate, but man, the pathway stays narrow as well. and you see one person standing outside the gate, and then maybe way on down the road in the pathway, you see another person there. So there's not many people there. This is what he's talking about. A huge gate with a wide path, and the narrow, tiny gate with a tiny path. You can picture that, can't you? This is what he's saying. In effect, what Christ Jesus is telling us, he's saying, this is what I'm talking about. Choose the way you're going to go. You can go with everybody, or you can go with me. This is the road that I want you to walk. Enter at the narrow gate. This is where you're going to find me, in the narrow way. This is where I'm going to walk with you. And then we notice, not only is it a narrow gate, but it's a life that is narrow at the beginning and stays narrow. It doesn't change. It's not a life that at first is very broad and then gets very narrow. But dear friend, it's very narrow at the beginning and stays that way. I want you to kind of get a picture here. When he talks about the broad way and the wide gate, would you picture it as a funnel? Huge at the top and then narrows down at the end. Now, as long as you're in this life and you're living how you want, with what you want and how you want to live, oh, it's wide and it's easy. But then, dear friend, at the end, it's going to come down. And you are going to come down to a place where you don't want to be. It's going to be narrow, and it's going to funnel you right into the gates of hell. That's what God's Word says. But if you enter, and if you could swap that around, if you will, it's got a very little gate at the beginning, and so you've got not the funnel going this way, but you've got an upside-down funnel. You've got this very narrow way. And as you enter that gate, it stays narrow all the way through this life. It stays narrow as you walk, as you talk, as you live for Christ. It stays narrow. And then at the end, and only at the end of this life, man, that's where it gets broad. Amen? That's where life expands. That's where life is totally fulfilled. That's where your redemption makes the difference in the second life that Christ is offering to us. So it's narrow for us in this world. It starts narrow in the beginning, and it stays narrow. It's not broad and then gets narrow. It's narrow and stays narrow all through this world. The way to enter Christ's life is small. And friends, this is a very essential part of evangelism. God's Word does not say, oh, just come to Christ any way you want. Is that what God's Word says? No. He says, I am the way, truth, and life. There's not this broad way to get into heaven. It is narrow. And as long as you're in this world, it's supposed to stay narrow. When worldly wisdom and carnal motives enter into our evangelism, we remove the narrow gate. What am I saying? I'm saying this. Don't tell people it's easy to follow Jesus. Because it's not. Any amens? It is not easy to follow Jesus. It is not easy to follow Him. True evangelism is going to tell people, listen, it is the joyful life, but it's not easy. It is the fulfilled life, but it's not easy. Let me just ask you, have you ever found anything in life that was greatly worthy and awesome that was easy? No, it's all difficult when you want to work for something. That's where the joy comes in. It's wrong to give someone the impression that to be a Christian is easy, or that it's not very different from the non-Christian life. Oh, just accept Jesus and come in like you are. Yes, but that's not where it stays. Amen? You have to find that narrow way, dear friend, and that narrow way stays a narrow way all through this life. It's tough. It's difficult. I guess what I'm saying is, don't tell your friends, oh, it's just easy. Just accept Jesus and come join your friends. It's all going to be a party. I've not found that, and Jesus never said that. Jesus never invited people that way. The gospel of Jesus Christ never was, oh, it's easy, just come on. Ask the rich young ruler. He said, you have to give up everything to follow Jesus. The gospel of Jesus doesn't say, oh, come in, it's easy now, but it gets hard later. Don't try to fool folks. The gospel of Jesus Christ, friends, openly and unapologetically announces that it starts with a what? Narrow gate. It's a small way. God tells us that when we start our walk with Jesus Christ, there are some things that have to be left outside the gate. I get this picture of getting on the airplane with all of your luggage. Do they let you do that? No. And even with your carry-on, they've got this little restriction. They've got this little box, and I don't know how many of you ever had to use it, but they've got this little box where you check in, and if your bag doesn't fit in there, you can't take it with you. They take it away from you. Well, in a turnstile, if you will, if you're going to look at the gate, it's very narrow. Only one person gets through at a time, and with that, there is no baggage. There's no baggage. The first thing that we are told to leave behind when we go through that narrow gate is our worldliness. Look at verse 13 and 14 again. Follow with me. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Folks, if you're going to come to Christ and you're going to go through His narrow gate, you're going to have to lay some things aside. You're going to have to leave some things outside. We start by realizing that by becoming a Christian, we become a part of something that is exceptional and unusual. That is to be in a life with Jesus Christ. It's not the same as the rest of the world. You're making a break from the world, friends. You can't bring the world in with you. You have to break away from the crowd. You have to break away from the majority. And I'm going to tell you that the Christian life is not popular among the world. Any amens? It's not popular among the world. It's unusual. It's different. It's difficult. And yet, on the other hand, crowding in with the world and crowding through the wide gate is what everybody seems to be doing. Have you ever heard that, Mom? Have you ever heard that, Dad? Well, everybody's doing it, Mom. Why can't I do it? Any moms and dads ever hear that? Have you ever done it yourself? Sure you did. Well, Tommy's getting to go. Why can't I go to the party? Well, Ann's getting to go. Why can't I go to the party? And on and on and on. And, of course, you know, my mom and dad, like the one says, well, you know, all the lemmings go over the cliff. Are you going to follow them? Are we going to continue to teach our children that it's a narrow way that we want them to live? Not because we want to keep them from having joy and pleasure, but because we want to keep them in life and having pleasure that doesn't have deep, dark, terrible consequences. That's why we say no. And our Lord says, listen, if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to not go through the large gate. Don't go with the crowd through the wide gate. Go with Christ in the narrow gate. Now, not only do you have to leave the crowd, but you've got to do something that's even more difficult than that. And some of us have a hard time leaving the crowd. We like being with others. We like being with the popular group. But something even more difficult is this. You must leave the way of the world behind as well. You can't walk with the world, and you can't bring the world's way with you. You know, it's one thing to leave the crowd. Amen? Listen, I'm good. I like to get away from the crowd. I like to get off by myself. But it's another thing to leave the way of the world. You know, it is possible to leave the crowd in a physical sense, is it not? And yet keep a worldly spirit with you. Monasticism did that. Monasticism said, pull away from the crowd. Get off by yourself. Get with those who are seeking God and seeking to be alone. Well, listen, they did that, but they still didn't have a godly attitude. Just because you leave the world doesn't mean you're not going to bring the world's ways with you. So let me put it this way and just make it very, very plain. Living the way of the world and the life of the world in a different setting does not make you a Christian.
Just because that you leave the world doesn't mean that you're a Christian. Because if you bring the world's ways with you, you're not showing that you're walking with Christ. Whether it's a monastery or whether it's a Baptist church, just because you step out of the world doesn't mean you're a Christian. You've got to leave the way of the world. We've got to leave our unregenerated nature. That's what Christ is saying. We've got to leave our unregenerated nature and the things that please that old nature at the narrow gate. You've got to leave it behind. Leave it behind. That's just not instinctive for me. Is it instinctive for you? Is that just something that you do naturally? Say, okay, I'm going to quit being like my old self. I don't know about you, but that's one of the hardest things that I have to go through, is not being the old way. Our instinct is to hit back when we're hit. Our instinct is to defend our rights. Our instinct is to love those who love us. Our instinct is to hate those who hate us. God's Word says that's not God's way. That's not to be our way. Our Lord is telling us that if we are going to be His people, we've got to leave our old depraved nature and fallen nature outside. Unfortunately, we take plane rides with the Lord. Unfortunately, we'll say, you know, I'm going to walk the narrow way for a while, and we'll check our luggage. And then when we get off the plane, we'll pick it right back up. Are you taking a plane ride with God, or are you on a real pilgrimage and not picking up the old nature? Folks, it is something that we have to handle every single day, and we've got to do it with God's help. Our strength and our power does not come from our resolve, but from our resolve to follow Christ. His strength, His help, His ability. We have to do one more thing, and this is the hardest one. You think it's tough to leave the way of the world? How about this one? We have to leave ourself outside. You got to leave yourself. And I say, well, all right, Pastor, that makes no sense whatsoever. How are we going to get through the gate if we leave ourselves outside? Well, let me just show you what God's Word says. What I'm talking about is we have to leave the old Adamic nature. That nature that came from Adam and Eve, if you will. That sinful nature. The fallen man. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says that we are to put off the old man and put on the new. Are you with me? We take off the old man. We leave it behind. We put on the new. And then we walk with Christ. You know our problem. We've said this many times. Our problem is that we are to be a living sacrifice. And a living sacrifice all too often will crawl off of the altar. We need to keep crawling back on, jumping back on. Every morning we need to come to the Lord and say, God, I'm giving myself to you anew. With that understanding, we got to understand this, that there is not room for two people to go through the narrow gate. There's not room for two. You can't bring your new self and your old self. They won't fit. You've got to leave one of them behind. And only one gets through the gate. And that's the new man. The old man and the new man don't walk together well. You've got to leave the old self, if you will, outside of the gate to walk with Christ. Listen to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He said to deny what? Deny what? Himself. Take up his cross. Now, what is a cross used for? Is it a decoration that we put around our neck? Is that what the cross was about? The cross was an instrument of crucifixion. The cross was an instrument of death. What Christ is saying is you have to pick up an instrument of death and follow me, because you've got to die to yourself. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you, God, that he says, you die to yourself. You're crucified with me, but it is my life that is manifested in you so that you can walk. You can't do it. I can't do it. Only God can do it in you. Mark chapter 5, verse 3 said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Back to that beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, what does that mean? It means that we put our own spirit aside, that we don't count ourselves as being important, that we know that we want to be a servant for Christ. And I'm going to tell you, no natural man likes that. No natural woman likes that. No natural boy or girl likes being put down. But when we put ourselves down, God's word says that he will lift us up. The fifth thing is the straight and narrow way of life is difficult. Amen? It's tough. When you come to the topmost level of any walk of life, the company's always smaller, isn't it? We call it the cream of the crop or the creme de la creme. Those who rise to the top are not near as many as those who are in the middle. Folks, when we rise with Christ, there are fewer and fewer people. So you've got to understand that if it's this way in this life, how much truer is it for Christianity? It is those who are seeking the heart of Christ. We're called to live like Jesus, his very self. And that, dear friend, is a difficult standard. It's a tough standard. We are called to live like Christ. The straight and narrow way of life is difficult. And one more. The way is straight and narrow for a reason. Because it involves suffering. I don't know of anybody who wants to willingly suffer. Nobody wants to willingly hurt. No one wants to willingly go through difficulty. But Christ warns us that if we belong to him and we follow him and we preach and we teach him, we will go through suffering. Whenever someone truly lives for Jesus Christ, it will involve persecution, period. So folks, if you haven't been through any kind of persecution, you might want to check your registration papers to whom you belong, because that means you're probably not standing for Christ. If you have no persecution, no one is bothering you because you are standing for right. Friends, the world has always persecuted the man who follows Jesus. The world has always persecuted the woman who follows Jesus. The world has always persecuted the child, the student who follows Jesus. Always. Christ warned us that the way is narrow. Narrow, difficult, hard, tough. Praise God, that's not the end. Amen? Because listen to this. Christ warned us that the way is narrow. But you know what else? He also taught us that there is reward at the end for walking that narrow way. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Back to the Beatitudes. He said, blessed are you when they revile you. Blessed are you when they persecute you. Blessed are you when they say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Stop. Time out. How do we miss this? He said, blessed are you when people revile you. Blessed are you when they persecute you. Blessed are you when they say terrible things about you because you stand for me. And then he says, for great is your what? Reward. We get a reward. He says, great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Understand, we don't walk that narrow way for nothing. We walk that narrow way to please the Lord and to show others that they need to leave the crowd and come to Christ. And when we do that, and we are faithful to the word, God's word, Jesus Christ himself said, there are rewards. That's why we go through the persecution. because we love the Lord. And our reward is to serve Him who loves us. But also, there will be rewards in heaven. It might not always be here. There's a lot of people who think, well, if I serve God, I guess I'm going to be rich. You will, but might not be here and probably won't be here. Because when you serve the Lord, you're persecuted. Understand, the way is straight. The way is narrow because it involves suffering. Let's wrap this up. We see that the narrow way is narrow the whole way, right? You know, we can take a holiday from work. I love you. I really do. I love my church. And quite often, my wife and I, Brenda and I, have come back at the end of our vacation to be here on our last day of vacation to be in church with you. But I got to tell you honestly, I left you those first 6 days. And that's how I can come back sometimes, you know? We all need a rest, amen? Everybody needs a rest. Do not feel bad. Don't make anybody feel bad to use your vacation. That's good. But that's from your worldly work, dear friend. God's Word says we never take a vacation from following God. So when you go on vacation, guess who you still represent? When you go on vacation, guess who you're to be talking about? When you go on vacation, guess what? Your purpose never changes. And our purpose is to what? Glorify God. Our purpose is to what? And that happens 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months a year, for every year, day, minute, second that we live. We walk the narrow way. There is never a vacation from our spiritual walk. If you thought it was going to get easier, you're mistaken. I have literally, in the past couple of months, had somebody come to me and tell me, well, you know, you don't have to put up what we have to put up with. It's easy for a preacher. You don't have the temptation that we have. That's exactly what I did. And I went, listen, folks, it does not get easier. If anybody told you, oh, the longer you live for Jesus, the easier it gets. I don't want to hurt your feelings and I don't want to discourage you. So I'm just going to tell you, you better be ready, because the closer you get to the Lord and the longer you walk with the Lord, the stronger a soldier you are and the more you come into the sights of the enemy. He does not want you walking strong. Don't ever think that the narrow way stops until you finish here. And when you finish here, that's when real life begins. I've said it many times at a funeral. I've said it many times to people who have asked me about it. I said, look, one of these days, you are going to read in the paper, in an obituary, and it's going to say, Gary Ladd, pastor from Grace Point Fellowship Baptist Church, died last week on such and such and such and such. His services will be da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Don't you believe it? Because at that point, I will be more alive than I have ever been in my life. God will reward those who walk the narrow way. That's, dear friend, when the life opens up. Here in this world, it's wide and broad, and it's going to narrow down to an ugly point at the end of the life. But when you start at the narrow way, and you take the narrow way all the way through, it's at the end that the Lord says, to be absent from the body is to be present with me. If that didn't bring a smile to your face, there's something wrong with your face. And I don't see any faces that there's something wrong with. I just pray that your heart hears what we're saying. The narrow road, dear friend, does not get easier. Your foes, your enemies will attack you until the very last minute. I knew a dear lady who was a strong Christian her whole life. And in her late 80s, she called on me and said, "Pastor Gary, I just want to make sure." She said, "For some reason, I'm really struggling right now as my life is coming to an end." And I said, "You know what? I said, I think that's a good thing. Because if you weren't worried about it at all, and it didn't cross your mind, that means that Satan would be leaving you alone and he's happy with the trip you're on." I ask her about her profession of faith, about her faith in Jesus Christ. We talked about that. Oh, strong she was there. And after we talked and read the scripture and talked about heaven and talked about the things that God had prepared for her, she was at peace again. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter how old you are. When you try to walk with Christ, he's going to beat you up best he can. That's why we always keep the armor on. And remember this, the narrow road calls for a decision. You've got to make a decision to walk that way. And it involves commitment, dear friend, to stay on that way. Does that make sense? This means yes. When Jesus called his disciples, you know what he did not say? When Jesus came to John and Andrew and Peter and Matthew, and as he came to them, he didn't come up to them and say, "Do you like my teaching? Hey, how'd you like that Sermon on the Mount? It was a great sermon, right?" He didn't say, "Admire me. Think about me." You know what he said? What did he say? "Follow me. Follow me." Scripture right here says, "Choose the narrow gate, and there are few who find it." Folks, we're the minority. If you know Christ as Lord and Savior, you're the minority. If you are following Him closely, you're even a greater minority. And if you're walking the narrow road, it may seem like you are often walking by yourself. Understand this. He said, "I will never leave you." Hello? Jesus said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You are never alone." He said, "I send the Comforter to strengthen you, to walk with you." Thank you, Lord, that faithful is He who called us to follow Him, is faithful to do it for us when we surrender to Him every day. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, that you love us so much you didn't leave us alone. God, that you gave us your Holy Spirit to strengthen, to uplift, to encourage, to comfort. Love it, Father, that you even call him the Comforter. Thank you that we're never left alone to walk the narrow. Help us, Father. This is my challenge to you as you pray. Friend, can you say that you're on the narrow path? Did you choose it? He says you've got to choose. You must choose it. You stand before those gates and you choose it. You can't say, "Well, I just followed the crowd and I didn't know about it." Yes, there's a narrow gate. Choose. Have you chosen the narrow way? Have you chosen Jesus Christ? If so, I thank God for that. Would you make a commitment now to continue to walk that path? And if you've never walked through that gate with Jesus, you think, "I don't think I can give all this up." Why don't you just give your life to Jesus? He'll help you give it up. Amen. If you've never invited Christ into your heart and life, today, God's Word says, is the day of salvation. You can pray right now. If you truly believe that Jesus is God's Son, that He died on the cross for you, if you truly believe His words that says, "If you will believe in me, if you'll follow me, you will be saved. For with the heart belief and the mouth confession, you're brought to salvation." If you can do that right now, you give your life to the Lord, he says that you need to make a public commitment. He said, no such thing as a private, secret Christian. You must profess your faith before others. If you're making a public dedication of your life, or even a rededication of your life, tell somebody. Perhaps God is leading you to a decision I've not even mentioned. God's good that way. He'll lead you where you need to go and where you need to be. But if you'd like to share with someone a decision that you've made, you'd like them to pray with you, you come. I'm going to ask my prayer partners, would you stand?
Hi, I'm Pastor Gary Ladd. It's our hope and our prayer that God's word has touched your heart today. Perhaps you'd like to ask God for his help in your life right now. Did you know that you can call on God's Holy Spirit to help you through prayer right now, right where you are? If you pray sincerely in faith, the Heavenly Father will hear your prayer. He'll hear your prayer of confession, of forgiveness, and for comfort. If you already know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you know that God wants you to be closer to him, to draw you in closer, would you pray right now and ask God to forgive you of your sin and to draw you in close to him, to that personal love relationship that God wants you to have? Did you know that God's word tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if you'll confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins? If you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart or into your life, dear friend, please do that today. He wants to have a personal love relationship with you. He wants to be your Lord and your Savior. If God's Holy Spirit is pulling on your heart right now, this is how you can receive him as your Lord and Savior today. It's really a simple, a very simple process of faith called admit, believe, and confess. Admit that you're a sinner and that you need God's help. Believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that he came to this earth, that he lived his perfect life, that he died on the cross for your sin, and that he rose again so that he might prepare a place for you in heaven. And then the last thing that you need to do is confess. Confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, the boss of your life, and that he is your Savior. If you'd like to do that right now, you can pray a very simple prayer, invite him into your life. If you would, just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to know you personally. I acknowledge that my sins have separated me from you. Please forgive me of those sins, Lord. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for me, to die in my place. And thank you, Father, that he rose again to be my Lord and my Savior. I now ask you to rescue me from my sin. And I place my faith in you alone for forgiveness and for eternal life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, and you prayed that prayer in faith, believing, then, dear friend, you've begun your spiritual walk with God through Jesus Christ. Please let us know about this, won't you? This is just the beginning, and we'd like to pray with you and for you and to help you to start your process of growing with Jesus Christ. Please contact the church offices of Grace Point at the email that you see right there on your screen. If you'd like to access other sermons or helps, or if you'd like to find out more about Grace Point Ministries, service times, Bible studies, youth or children's activities, please look us up at the website on your screen right now, gpf.church. Thank you for joining us for our worship broadcast today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.